Welcome, everyone, to the Justin and Ryan Bizarro Show. I'm Justin Bizarro. I'm your host. That's B-I-Z-Z-A-R-R-O. For anyone who's out there, you can find me on Instagram at Justin Bizarro. And you can find us in this show or any of the other shows I do on Spotify or wherever else you grow yourself through podcasts. So I have a very cool guest with us. I've been following her for a while on Instagram. You know, which her story is, I can relate to her a lot. She's like a Renaissance woman in the modern era. She's involved in many things. She's a businesswoman. She's a model. She's an actress. She's an entrepreneur. And I would say a capitalist as well. And wow, what an experience just talking to you beforehand and preparing for this episode. I mean, your journey and your life is incredible, and you're an incredibly motivating and inspiring human. So with that being said, I want to introduce Maryvale Chang of Branded by Maryvale from Los Angeles, California. How are you doing, Maryvale?
Well, I'm good. Thank you for having me in your show, Justin.
Oh, you're very, very, very welcome. So, I mean, we talked about your background and your history and your family a little bit, so I really like people to dive into the beginning, like where it all began. Where were you born? How was your family life and how you got here to where you are now? So let's start there. The mic is yours. This is your episode. You take as long as you want. And I'm just going to sit back and listen. And I'll ask questions as I have them. But I'm absolutely intrigued by your story and cannot wait to motivate other individuals and impact them through it. So it's all yours.
Sure. Yeah, I would love to share my story. So basically, I grew up, I was born and grew up in the Philippines. And we weren't really, I mean, I won't say we're rich, but we're actually just like any other families that able to eat three times a day. And my mom and dad, they have, you know, job. Well, my dad has a full-time job. And then my mom, I called her, jack of all trade, because she just goes through like with anything that she can think of that makes money, then she goes for it. And then I actually, growing up, I learned a lot from her. And she's very motivated. She's very independent. And I would just call it that she wears the pants in the house. And so my dad is, you know, he's just a regular guy that he was a truck driver and goes home and, you know, my mom does the budgeting at home. And so it's a really good family growing up with, you know, with my parents, because I cannot just now at my age right now, there's really nothing that I can think of that really, really have that negative impact on me growing up. And like where I'm at today now, I think it's because of how my mom and dad, brought up as a kid, and having that background with growing up in the Philippines, I would say, you know, we have a very like a strict discipline foundation. So I think that's one of the things that really helped and guide me, not just me, and even with my three brothers that were disciplined. And we grew up Catholic, and I still remember growing up every 7 o'clock in the evening, and we have to do a rosary. That's every night at 7, and it really helped us also to be more spiritual. So it really helped me, like being spiritual, and then having that discipline really helped me work to where I'm at now. And I have, you know, I would consider myself like really successful because of how I was brought up. It's one of the things also that that really helped me, become who I am today. So it's a very interesting life growing up in the Philippines. There are some times that, you know, my mom doesn't have that much money. My dad doesn't have any money. And I know a lot of people can relate to me, especially in the third world countries. But, you I never really saw my mom and dad. That became very negatively impacted. I mean, I can see their face. They're sad because, you know, they want to do more for us. And just an example, you know, like buying clothes. The only thing that my mom and dad can afford to buy clothes is like during Christmas and probably like once a year. So it was, you know, it is a little, it's I would say it's sad, but you know what? It's actually, there's a reason for it. And my brothers and me especially, it really opened up my eyes and had me like look at what do I want to do? I mean, I don't want to grow up to be like having to, you know, like buy clothes like once a year. So that experience really opened up my eyes. I'm like, there's so much I can do. And I'm not going to limit myself. And of course, one of the things that motivated me also is that I want to establish myself and I want to help my parents. So that was one of the motivations that it also pushed me to where I'm at now.
I love it. So tell me a little bit about your journey. I mean, how did you get from the Philippines to the United States? Why? I mean, you're an entrepreneur. You're obviously extremely successful in what you are doing right now. At least I think so, in my opinion, and in my definition of success, especially spiritually. And so tell me a little bit about this journey. I mean, your parents obviously are huge anchors in your life. Your spirituality is a huge part of your life. So tell me about you growing up, the things that you were interested in, the things that attracted you, and then why those things brought you to the United States.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I was, you know, like growing up, and I was actually in college at that time, and we hang out, you know, like with my college friends, and we hang out and we look up the sky, and then we can see, you know, like an airplane like flying above us. And I always thought to myself, well, like, when do I really be able to ride an airplane? You know, I mean, will I get that opportunity? So, and I wasn't being, you know, not it being negative, but I was like, I don't think it's going to happen. So after I graduated college, and I'm just so lucky that whenever I apply for a job, I always get it. And even prior to graduating, getting my degree, how I prepared myself is that I was still in college. And then, and when I see, you know, when I saw like job openings and then like interviews. So what I usually do is I try to apply for that job and just go through the interviews, and it's not that I want to get the job, but it's to teach myself and learn and how this interview works and basically preparing myself for something that I know it's going to happen and it will help me in the future. So that's how I kind of trained myself, just to learn. And it helped me, you know, going through these interviews, and it really helped me. Became very confident of myself. So then, after graduating college, I saw this ad, you know, like, oh, there's an opportunity for a job for like an accounting. And so basically, I tried to apply, and you know what, I got the job too. And then considering in the Philippines that there's the competition getting a job there is it's crazy. But before I even got that job, I was a teacher. I graduated as a teacher, a high school teacher, and I taught in a high school in physical education and math. And then nothing against the students, but when I going through school for like 4 months, and I said to myself, you know what, there's something more that I want to do. I cannot really, teaching is not really my passion. It's not something that I want to do for years. So I quit, and then I got the job in a private company. It's totally opposite from my degree, and it was accounting. And I was very surprised. I passed the written exam and all that stuff, like the interviews. So I got that job, and then for a year, and then I have this opportunity, a job offer to go to Mexico. So I know, I went to Mexico, and that was a great opportunity. And I said, you know what? I think this might be the one that I want to do. I mean, and you know, like I mentioned earlier, I'm very spiritual, and I pray. I pray every night before I go to sleep. I cannot sleep if I don't pray. But anyways, so I kind of pray about it. And then I told my mom and dad, like, you know what? I'm going to Mexico. And then my dad was like, are you crazy? I mean, you don't know anybody there. You don't even speak the language. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I think I'm old enough to make my own decision. And then I have the faith that everything's going to be okay. And then my dad actually was the one that keeps telling me, you cannot go, you know, if something happened to you there, you don't have any family. But at the end, it was my decision. I said, I am going no matter what. So I got my papers. I got my Mexican visa for 30 days, flew to Guadalajara, Mexico. Got my work papers there, and then I ended up working for this huge corporation. Basically, it's medical related corporation, and I was the administrative at that time. And then looking back, I said, you know what? Like having to get that job experience in accounting really helped me. It's like I've been being prepared the accounting job to go to Mexico, because when I started my job in Mexico, that's how I started all the, you know, like the responsibilities. And then from there, I was given more opportunities to do more. So it's a, I can't really say more about what I do deeply in Mexico, but that job really helped me becoming more independent, more resourceful, because at that time when I moved there, I didn't know anybody. I don't even like the food. It took me a long time to even learn to like the food. And I don't speak the language, and I don't have any friends. So what I did is just to learn the language, I had to go to the Spanish school, learn Spanish. And that really motivated me. And then, of course, you know, like coming from the Philippines, our dialect in Philippines really mixed with Spanish. So it was a little easier for me to learn. But then knowing all about like the culture and then the food, and then after a few years living there, I lived there for 6 years. And then for that, like after 2 years living there, I was given the opportunity to manage the entire business. And of course, I became a boss and write checks and do a lot of stuff. And basically, I managed it on my own. And it's medical related business. And so there's doctors, there's chiropractors, there's physical therapists that I had to deal with. I had to learn, deal with labor lawyers, accountants. And it's a little challenging because they all speak Spanish. In my Spanish, I would consider it was good, but I, of course, you know, being a resourceful person, I hired a person at that time that basically speaks 100% English, and then she's always with me whenever I have meetings, and she will translate for me. So, and then having to have someone that helped me at that time is, you know, like having to get like trust someone is a little hard, but I'm just blessed that to find this person that I, you know, she became my friend, and I became I you know, I treated her just like my family, my sister, that she's there. And then I know she's not going to put me into a situation where, you know, like it will basically hurt the business. So I was fortunate to have that. So yeah, my Mexican job journey was, it was challenging. It was exciting. And for the most part, it was such an adventure for me. I have learned a lot from the culture, people, and being independent. And that's how I basically thought to myself, I can do everything I want. And I just need to have that faith and no fear. Because with me, I mean, considering that I don't have any family, if I'm going to be riding a taxi somewhere in the middle of, you know, like 1 hour away from the city, I can be robbed. They can kidnap me or whatever, right? And no one will even going to look for me. So it's a gamble. And everywhere you go, even like, you know, here in America, life is a gamble. You just need to take that risk. And to me, living in Mexico, I always see that I'm living on the edge. I can die tomorrow. But you know what? If I'm going to have that fear in me, I can't go forth, you know, like farther in my life. So that it really, you know, I would not say like fearless, but of course there's things that makes me fearful, but overall, I'm not afraid, and there's so many things I can do. And I always believe that, you know, at that time that, oh, people always say, oh, think outside the box. But you know what? My philosophy is don't think that there's box. There is no box. Your mind, everything that you have, it's limitless. Like ideas, your ambitions, it's limitless. The only thing is have that. You have to be driven and motivated and just have that faith and go for it. So, and then from that time, 6 years, there was a time that, I think everyone knows about like all these drugs going on in Mexico. And that was the time that made me realize, and I had a great friend that said, you know what, leave Mexico. You need to pack and leave. So it really took me some time because I fell in love with the country, the people, and I'm living the best life in Mexico. And I made so much money. And I thought to myself, no, I'm going to stay and I'm going to file my Mexican residency. But then, you know, I think sometimes God uses people to open up your eyes. And so this friend of mine said, you need to leave. So that is when I realized, and I'm like, you know what? I think I should move to America. So that is when the time that I decided to move to America. That was in 2002. And because at that time, you know, I made so much money, my salary was, you know, I got an allowance there. So I saved up a lot of money at that time. So when I moved in America, I didn't work for like 6 months. So I was just, you know, trying to learn what American, you know, the American life. And then at that time, my Spanish was, I mean, not Spanish, but my English was really bad. So what I did is try to help myself is I volunteered to assisted living. You know, I'm passionate about older people, and I care about anybody, and especially like with older people that I've heard, like, oh my God, you know, like in America, when you're at a certain age, they put you in a nursing home and no family even like visits you. And it's pretty sad. So that was like the first thing in my mind, like, you know what, it's the best place to learn my English. So I volunteered with this assisted living, and it's one of the things that I'm glad that I did in my life, because I made a lot of these older people, made them happy. And it made you realize that a lot of people doesn't really care, even their own family. So all they want is to have someone to talk to. So to me, that was the best time learned my English and practice my English, because everyone in the nursing home, they just want to have someone to talk to them. And from there, and I learned so much that, you know what? If there's anyone, everyone has their story. And just pay attention to these people, because they have so much life, and you will not never learn from them if you don't talk to them. And talking about this old people in the nursing home, you learn a lot. And I have learned a lot from them. And so after 6 months, that's what I did. I didn't work. And then that's when I realized, you know what, I think it's time for me to find a job, full-time job, because I cannot just, you know, my money will run out. And how can I support myself without any salary? So, and I learned that in America, you got to have your medical insurance. So that medical insurance, they really motivated me, like, I need to get a job. So I started interviewing, because at that time I was already like very confident about, you know, my English. I'm like, I think I can communicate with my English. So I felt more a little comfortable. So I interviewed, and this one company, it's actually a jewelry company in HR. And they said, like, you know, this is an HR job and this and that. And then I'm like, I never have any experience in human resources. So I'm like, you know what? I'm still going to go for it. So I interviewed, and they liked me, and they hired me the next day. So I was like, how lucky can I be? So being in that job, it really made me think, like, I like human resources because I love people. I love to talk to people. I love to get to know people. So that's when I realized, like, wow, I mean, God really has, you know, like, he's really putting me, like, this journey. It's like, it's an easy journey for me. It's like being planned out for me, and I'm just going with the flow. So, but anyways, that's how I started learning about HR. And I love it. So one of my coworkers, she's very smart, and she got a job at the district attorney's office. And that's when she was the one, she left the company, and then we still, you know, stayed in touch. And she was the one who, like, hey, Maribel, you need to apply for government. You need to apply for government. I'm like, there's just no way I will be hired. And she said, just do it. And then, so I'm like, okay, I'll just do it. So I submitted my application, and then I was very surprised that they called me for an interview. And that job was actually for human resources. And I'm like, oh my God. So I went for the interview, you know, and I was interviewed in the morning, and then in the afternoon they called me back and they said the boss wants to do a second interview with me. So I went back the next day in the morning. And then I was driving home after that interview from that, you know, from the boss. And I was driving home and I got a phone call. It's like, hey, Maribel, we want to hire you. And then I'm like, really? Are you sure? It's like, to me, I was like, oh my God, am I dreaming or what? So it was very exciting. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, what is, you know? And then I'm thinking government is like, oh man, it's like the benefits and all these holidays. And I'm already like thinking that vacation. And so that's how I started with the government job. And when I told my, you know, when I gave my 2 weeks notice from my employer, and I said, you know, I'm leaving, I got a job for the government. And they're like, well, how much are they paying you? We will you know, pay you more. And I'm like, maybe not. I think I'm going to go for the government. So yeah, I accepted the offer. And then here I am. I'm still working for the government. It's amazing, Justin. It was amazing journey that to me, it wasn't even, I didn't really feel any like hardship. It's just, I was just going with the flow. And to me, just having that positive outlook and then everything that goes, whatever goes, I treat it just like something that will help me and like, and go for it, you know. And to like I mentioned earlier, it's limitless. There's no, I don't limit myself. I will just go for it. And I have no fear. So if it's gonna work, good. And now, like even now, it's like I'm doing other stuff, stuff like modeling and, you know, other gigs, like the business. And that's why like a lot of people are like, how do you manage your time? And like, you know what? Even how busy you are, if you're really interested, if you really want to do something, you always make time for it. And to me, having no time or excuses like that, to me, that's really unacceptable. Because if you really want to do it, you really want to have time, you will make time. So that's my philosophy. And I think now having to have this different, like, you know, they call me that Miss Versatile, which I am. I mean, I know there's just so much time that we have in a day, but just manage it wisely, and you can do more. And it's not that you're limited. Don't limit yourself. I don't limit myself. So, and yeah, and now I'm still a government employee, and I think everyone knows, you know, like if you go to my my Instagram page, and I consider myself I'm a recruitment expert, and what I do in my job is I'm good at it. It's not being conceited, but I know my capabilities and my abilities. And having to be in this position now with my journey, considering from where I started, how I started, I think it's pretty amazing. And I love to share my stories because I think it's very, it's promising and motivating to people. So yeah. And then I hope that, you know, everyone will like my story. And everyone can relate, you know. It's good to be a great example, basically.
Yeah, I want to anchor a few things because I have a lot of questions for you, but I'm going to anchor a few things just for the audience to fill some gaps. I'm going to give a little history lesson here for everyone. Like the Philippines, just for everyone knows, like it was a Spanish colony during colonialism. So from the time Columbus sailed the ocean blue, it became a Spanish colony. Then during the Spanish-American War, which I'm pretty sure was the 1800s, it became an American colony, okay? An American territory, because we didn't call them colonies. Funny. We still call them territories. And and then from there, during World War II, the Japanese invaded the Philippines. And I believe and I'm going to say this right off the top of my head, I swear to God, I have not looked this up. So if I'm right, I'm going to be really impressed that my photographic memory is kicking in. I believe the Philippines received independence and nationhood in 1949, but I could be wrong. Was it around there that you guys actually became an independent country?
You know what, Justin? It's funny you ask me because I'm not really good in history.
That's why you did math and physical education, right?
You know what? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up. We'll have to look it up. The audience can look it up and call me out for it.
But yes, we have to ask Mr. Google.
Yeah, Mr. Google. I could be wrong. I don't know why I have this gut feeling, but I could be wrong. But anyway, so it's interesting because you talked about the Catholic influence. That's from the Spanish influence that came here. We talked about Spanish influence on the language. That's there also, but there's also American and English influence there as well, just by the nature of being an American territory. And then Philippines, so everyone knows. I mean, even to this day, they're really one of the center parts of trade in and out of Asia for a lot of Western countries. and they produce a lot of things that come to the United States and South America, North America, South America, and Europe. And so mm-hmm. I just want to anchor that as well. And I'm not totally sure on Africa and stuff, but I've got to imagine there's trade there as well, just by the nature of ships moving all over the place. And you guys being such a, I don't know, there's a reason it was a territory for the United States, just like Hawaii. It was an entry point into Asia and mm-hmm. and to that part of the world and back into the Americas. So from Asia. So I just want to anchor that for everyone. And the history of Christianity and the influence there and the missionaries that went there to spread Christianity. So
yes,
that's one of the big parts there. And as a person that went to Catholic school and with a lot of Filipino Americans and that influence, one of the a kid my senior year is a freshman that made the varsity team. His name was Stefan Franco. Like, huge impact in my life, huge motivational mm-hmm. person, watching him and his family come to America and really make a living and go to school with there were three brothers that I went to school with, all like almost like 6 years apart each, interestingly. So they just were gapped enough where I was in school with the older brother, the middle brother, and then the younger brother as he went into elementary school, because the Heights where I went to school was 3rd through 12th. And I didn't start there until I was in 7th grade. And I played soccer with the one brother, like I said, who was a phenomenal soccer player, very, very, very good soccer player. I was proud to help him grow in that and toughen him up a little bit and pull him along. But the thing that I like the most, you talked about saving money. I think that's an important thing. Mm-hmm. I think that not enough of us do it. And I've been in patterns in my life where I've had abundance and not saved mm-hmm. enough money. Okay. Well, as I thought I started making it and life was getting good, I was not saving enough money during those times. Mm-hmm. I messed up there. So that's one of the things I want to anchor. The other thing I want to anchor is what you talked about your parents. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The success in relationships, and I found by the people that do it well and asking them, and where I've had success in my relationships and where I failed and money became a really problem in my relationship and actually kind of broke it apart, was when I didn't live by this simple rule. The simple mm-hmm. rule is this: one person should make the money, another one should manage it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem is sometimes the person making it feels entitled to it and overly spends it. Okay.
Yes.
The other part is the person who's not making it and has to manage it, they feel they aren't making it, so they need to cherish it and preserve it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so important in families that we understand this, because in this era where everyone's trying to show off with how much money they have, even though they don't mm-hmm. have it, and they're overspending to quote unquote look rich or look wealthy or wear designer mm-hmm. brands or have nice shoes or spend their money. And believe me, I've here and there fallen into this because of my ego or whatever when I wasn't keeping myself in check. It will cost you relationships. It is a hardship. And if you look at the Bible and the way it handles money, you need balance there. And that means mm-hmm. you cannot be earning it and controlling it and managing it. It's just not, it leads down a bad path. And when they say money is the seed of all evil, I can't remember exactly how it says it in the Bible, depending on the translation, root of all evil. It's not referring that money is bad. It's referring that mm-hmm. money, if we become the manager, the owner, the and it becomes everything to us, and we don't balance it out with the other humans in our life or take the responsibility not 100% off of us, it can grow the other spiritual maladies in our life, for lack of a better term.
I agree.
And I've experienced this, unfortunately, both mm-hmm. from me personally and had to learn that lesson, and in the relationships watching another human who started to go down this road in the relationship I was with, where she had to be the maker, the manager, and then it became everything that defined her. It really did. Still to this day, and it's more important than anything, but that's because there's not balance. That's because
yes.
even if the person is not as great as we think they are, as we would be at managing money or making money, we need to understand, even if both couples are working in the household, We need to understand how to balance this out, because it will destroy families. It will lead to weird legacy problems where we pass down these inconsistencies to our children. And even in my household growing up, my parents were very balanced. My dad made the money. My mom earned the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, managed the money. And there was balance there for many, 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 many years. Even though my mom was an entrepreneur and on the farm and all that, there was still this weird balance of preserving and spending. Okay, my dad is a spender. My mom was a preserver, at least initially. But then what happened in my family was something very interesting as I got into my teenage years. And I would say we became more abundant as a family. My dad started venturing out on his own. My mom's business did really well. My dad took over all the money. Okay. And it really weirdly led to a lot of imbalances and bad habits in my family and financial crises, I would call it, that were avoidable big time, or business problems with their businesses that were avoidable because there was no longer the balance that was necessary. So I'm sorry to go on a tangent for the audience, but I think as entrepreneurs, as humans on this planet, we need to understand that money is man-made. It's not God-made. We created it as humans as a way to exchange goods that most of the time we create as humans. Again, just so we're clear on this. And in order to balance it out, in order to have balance spiritually, we need to let go of it somewhat. And I'm not saying to recklessly spend it, but I'm saying you need to have someone in a relationship that's really good and focuses on making money. Like I said, you can have a two-income household, but one of the members is usually more focused on earning or more ambitious or wants more for their life. That's good. Let them go do it, but it needs to be tempered with the individual that's more satisfied, that's more happy, that's more balanced in giving their family things that aren't monetary, okay? The experiences, the moments, the travel, the exposure to the world, the educations, the experiences that are necessary that aren't necessarily always monetary, okay? Maybe it requires money to get there, but it's not monetary, okay? Because I think that this goes really wrong, particularly in the United States right now. Particularly in the United States, we are so consumed with social media and showing off that we're not understanding this balance. And in households where both couples, both people in the relationship are falling into this and there's not this balance, it's almost like a freight train that cannot stop. These couples and these families cannot stop heading down these dangerous roads. And it's scary. That's why we have these weird depressive periods that we're having economically. It's the recklessly managing our own money. We want the government to do it for us or give us more. But the reality is we're not balancing out money in our families. So,
yes, use money to do something good as well. I mean, you know, like if you, you know, I travel a lot. And if you go to different countries, like a third world country, for example, go to a good example is Cambodia. You go to Cambodia, you give them a dollar, you buy like mango for like 25 cents. They'd be so happy. And look at us here in America. That $1 is really worth nothing, but in other people's lives, it makes their day, basically. And it's we're not going to take everything for granted, but money is, we need it to pay our bills and all that stuff, but do something good as well, like what you can help, you know. But it's just a thought of me that I use money for what, you know, to help. And of course, not 100%, but at least there's something that I can help to the those in need. Because I don't know, Justin, I actually have a charity. I started a charity. I called it Sunny's Goodwill. I started it 2016. And until now, it's still operating. And the charity basically is, I assist, kids with cancer, just to help them financially, like buy medicine and buy toys for them, and just very simple, small stuff. But my charity is small, but at least to me, it's very satisfying, because whenever I give like that $100, that's nothing for us in America. $100 to Philippines, giving it out to the kids with cancer. Just give them, buy them chocolates or whatever. You can, that happiness, that joy in their face, is priceless. It really melts your heart. And that's really why I keep doing this small charity until today. And I make money. I make good money, and I use it to something good as well. And not just for myself, but for my family, but especially for the ones that some people that needs it.
I love this. Just stacking on the mm-hmm. skill set here. And as we talked about earlier, we're definitely doing a part two, and I'm not near the end. We have like 15 more minutes on the interview. But now that we've talked about that, like that's an episode in and of itself right there, because I do believe in that as well, as we talked about. Like I carry ones on me even when I'm short of money or life gets a little stressful financially. No matter how much success we have, I still try to mm-hmm. give money. I try mm-hmm. to humble myself in that way, by recognizing how far, for me, it's $3 to anyone I see in the street. I don't care how they use it. I don't care what they use it for. If I can make their life better or relieve mm-hmm. a situation or give them another day of life or not have to go through a withdrawal that might kill them or have a heart attack or a stroke or withdrawals in some way, if I can buy them a little more time, that's okay with me. Okay, it's mm-hmm. I detach from the outcome or what they're going to do with it, because I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing God's mm-hmm. work. I'm using my will to align with God's will and take care of the humans and the animals on the planet, for lack of a better term, because that is our role. Okay, I believe mm-hmm. anyway, like we are gifted. We have been given higher intelligence, higher purpose, and we mm-hmm. should not waste it. And that means helping the world around us and growing it. So I like this a lot. I want to tap into, I'm going to come back to this, and maybe in the next episode, we're going to really get into the mm-hmm. charity and stuff like that, I think. But let's talk about, how did you branch from what you're doing now? Because your social media has grown, just since I've been following you over the last 6 months, significantly. You're really getting into the modeling and the acting as well. So, you know, I didn't even name enough titles when I introduced you, honestly. I forgot about like the nonprofit charitable donating superhuman. So like I can relate to this, because I want to stack as many skills in me throughout my life to be as valuable as I can to the next generations or the legacy of humans and the animals and the plants on this planet. Like I do believe in that. Like, and I feel this huge urge to do it. And if I'm not doing it, I am a miserable human. You don't want to be around me if I'm not growing. It's like like hangry times 10, or not having caffeine for those who need their caffeine every day. So let's talk about, how did you branch out? How'd you have the confidence to go and to be photographed, to be a model, to go into acting? I know you have a representative, an agency that represents you as well. I mean, these are all mm-hmm. huge stepping stones that I don't think anyone could fathom. Most people be like, I have a government job, I'm happy, I'm just going to stop there, right? So,
yeah, I mean, you know what? It's funny that you asked me about it, because it even surprised myself. I'm like, how did I do that? You know what? Honestly, I have my Instagram account since 2017, and I only post my dog's pictures. And last year, September, that is when I started, posting my photos. And one of my friend in the Philippines, she's a designer, and she started her own like clothing business. And basically she's a designer that she started having these fabrics made in banana. And her goal also is to help give livelihoods to inmates. So that is actually, I supported her because of her the purpose of her business. And we have the same goal. You know what? Let's help out. So anyways, she asked me like, hey, Maribel, do you want to do like, you know, photo shoot with my clothing and, you know, be in the New York Fashion Week and all that stuff? I'm like, at first she asked me and I said, no, I don't want to do that. And then the second time she asked me again, I'm like, you know what? Okay, I'll just do it. So that's how everything started. And funny thing is, at that time, my Instagram followers, I think I was only like 100, and then went up to like 300, and then went to 1,000. And then looking back, you know, because I'm very strategic, Justin, I like to assess things. And I like to go back to where I came, like how I started and why it became bigger and bigger and bigger. So I looked at my postings and then I realized, and I said, you know what? I think maybe my followers grow because of what I shared in my Instagram. I am not afraid, you know, like being a model, you know, we don't look good all the time, right? And to me, I care less about, I don't care. If I look good, if I look bad today, I can take a photo of myself and post it in Instagram. I just want to be the real me. I want people to see me just like who, the way I am, you know? And like, yeah, there's some photos of me that looks good, you know, in the magazine and all that stuff, but you can also see some videos of me that no makeup and the hair is all messed up. And I am not afraid. I'm just showing everyone that you should be confident. You should be confident about yourself. Who cares about what people think of you? So that's how I looked at my Instagram. Well, maybe because, you know, that they like it because they see me as a real person. You know, it's the real deal. I'm not faking it. It's the way I am. And funny thing is, I get a lot of messages and really appreciate, like, thinking, like, that's really nice of you. You're not even, you know, like, you're not shy about it. I'm like, why would I be shy? So why not share? I mean, now, and I think one of the magazines that I actually, like, recently, it's just about, you know, have an integrity with your beauty. I know, like, now there's so many things you can do, like app that will make you look really beautiful, but in fact it's not really you. And you go to like have this, nothing against women that goes through to improve themselves, you know, but to me it's, if there's people faking it, then for me it's like, well, I want to be real, you know. I want to be the opposite. I don't want to go with the flow. I have this beauty that was given to me, and I will flaunt it and I will be proud of it. And I think that's probably one of the things that followers, I think. So I don't know. I mean, they're the one that's going to make that decision. but from what I have seen and in the comments and in the messages that I get, it's just to summarize it all, I think that's what it is. Because now, go ahead.
No, I said it is interesting. I want you to continue, but I agree with you 100% on this. Actually, I don't edit my photos, and I have my photographers like just do what they do because I don't I don't want it. And I have discovered the same thing: the blemishes, the imperfections. That's what actually makes us human, and that's what makes us relatable to everyone. And it's authentic and vulnerability. Where when we try to, you know, I don't even know, fake it, all we do is then get following of other people that are trying to fake it in their life. And it's just, that's a disastrous spiral, guys. Like you get in this situation where now your followers and now your people are imitators or fakers or not honest or even destructive humans in some ways. And it doesn't build your brand. Okay, it doesn't do that at all. And it's because why? You're not being the real you. And the real you is what your brand is. There's only one of you. There's only one of us ever to live, ever, never going to be one again, ever. And so, like, that's really huge for me also. And I like that you said that. I want you to continue. But I think that, I mean, it's quite an incredible story because I think you're probably over 40,000 followers right now, if not more.
Yes.
And since September. So, I mean, how do you keep yourself humble during this? I mean, I want you to finish what you were saying, but I'm going to ask that question. How do you find humility amongst this? Because that's quite a rise. And you don't seem egotistical at all or privileged or entitled at all, even though you've had this really, really big success very shortly.
Well, you know, just looking back to how I started, and you know, I know probably not a lot of listeners are, you know, like spiritual, but I'm a very spiritual person. And the way I see my life is, and what motivates me to be humble every day is I have this scripture since I was a kid. it's 1 Corinthians, 16:14. And this is my mantra every day. And I always think of it is do everything with love, or everything you do must be done with love. And I have that in my mind every day. And that really keeps me grounded. And that really makes me more humble, more compassionate, because we're human, and I'm human. I get irritated. I have a bad temper. But whenever I have that in my mind, I always think to myself, you know what? Just be still and just quiet, and then do everything in love. And that's the thing, Justin, that it really helped me every day. And I think that's also really attracted, because I know you probably believe me too. Agree with me. Like, if you have that kind of energy, you spread out really good energy to other people. And if you show compassion, people are going to be compassionate towards you. If you're being respectful, they will respect you as well. I really don't ask for people to like me. I don't care. The more I care is how I treat everyone. And it's really up to you to take it negatively, positively. I don't care. But at least to me, in my heart, I'm doing the right thing, and I'm doing it with love. So I'm, there's a lot of friends, in my Instagram that I get so many messages. I get so many comments, but you know what? They give their time to me. It's the respect. They give at least 1 minute of their time to write me. And to me, as a respect, I respect everyone. So I make time to respond to all of these messages, even though I'm late, but I will reply to you because you're giving me that time. And to me, that's something that I think you should be respectful. You know what I mean? I hope I make sense, but it's we only have a limited time in this world. And if someone, a stranger, gave you their 1 minute of their time to you, to write to you, don't ignore them. And to me, I can't stand having to just ignore them. No, I don't. I respond to them. And I think that's one of the things too that probably, draws a lot of followers. And yeah, it's amazing, Justin. I know it's since September, and now I'm almost 50,000 followers. it's going to be a lot of responding.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have a full-time job just with that alone, I feel like, because it's incredible. I mean, I am, I totally respect this, and I totally am it's really impressive, and I think that you deserve it. And please, I don't mean entitled wise. I just think that, or to take it for granted, I just think that your life journey, God, being present in your life and your relationship with God has allowed you to attract the things that have grown you and brought you forward, whether you knew you wanted to do them or not. And I find that as well as a human, God does total transformations and totally brings you in a different direction in life, and complements the skills that you've stacked up and prepares you for what's coming. So it's just that type of thing. So as we wrap up here, I just want to make sure that I allow God to speak through you, as he does through everyone, whether we realize it or not. Is there anything you want to share with the audience or with anyone out there that you feel will be impactful today, or that you're living with today that you feel like maybe I just need to share this because it might help someone?
Yeah, it's actually, I'm glad that you asked me that, because if you want to attract, it's very important to attract positive energy every day. We are living in a really bad, you just look at the news, there's always bad news everywhere. But you know what? There's only one thing that you can do. It always starts from you. And just take it like one step at a time. And if you want to make a big difference now, you want to change someone, serve everyone with gratitude. I think that's very simple. It's hard, like the way, like my mantra, do everything in love. It's tough. You will need to learn that a long time. But a simple thing, serve everyone with gratitude. Is start just thanking everyone. Just serve with gratitude anywhere you go. And you will be surprised at how it will be impactful with other people. So that's the thing, Justin, that I would like for everyone to try it. Just serve with gratitude. Because I know, even though you're going to be in the bad mood, but if you think like, oh, I need to serve with gratitude today, and you will make a big difference.
I agree on this 100%. It's kind of crazy because I don't even know how, it's the weirdest thing. Growth is actually through giving to others. Like you gain, like it's the total opposite of what we think. And I know there's the whole mantra, put on your mask before you put on someone else's mask. And we have to gain life skills before we can help others, or we have to have bad experiences to help others through their bad experiences. But the crazy part is that willingness to give, or give back, or appreciate what we've been given with gratitude so that we can give to others, or we can appreciate our lives enough to attract the right people into our lives or attract the right opportunities into our life. So, you know, and like I've said, and I'll be vulnerable with all, I've been in and out of these phases when I've really became too self-focused or worried about what was happening to me and not for me. And I've been there at times. I think we go through them, and it's a slippery slope. But when you're able to get out of it and start serving and having gratitude and not necessarily expecting things in return or life to get better or happen, and just doing it and letting go of the outcome and the reactions and whatever else, the money, for lack of a better term, and I don't mean to waste it. I'm just talking about, it doesn't define us. We are not definable other than by the gifts that we give to others. Okay, what is that journey? How good are we living? What does our legacy actually look like in terms of how we treated the humans in the world around us?
Right. Yeah. Because, you know, like, for example, like you go to a mall, you go to a restroom, and then there's someone cleaning there. When was the last time you guys basically, things like that? If you reach out to them and said, thank you for keeping this bathroom clean, you really did a great job. You will see their face. And because, you know, a lot of people, it's a thankless job. And it's simple things like that. It really makes a big difference. So just you know, a good example for everyone.
I agree 100%. Thank you so much, Maryvelle, for coming on the show. I'll send you dates today for a part two so we can get that. Sorry, because I want to talk about charity. I want to get more into your acting and modeling. I want to get really into your Branded by Maryvelle and what that entails and what your business is.
Because thank you, Justin.
I think the audience like me is like, holy, this is only the tip of the iceberg in terms of your impact and influence. So I definitely want to get it out there and help tell your story. So thank you again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Justin. Yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I love sharing my story because, you know, it's good for... It's good to have some people learn from you. You know, I learn from people, and I want other people to learn from you as well.
Absolutely. Where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at Maryvelle Sunny Cooper.
Very cool. And I'm just so impressed. I'm lost for words. I just want to say thank you, and I have so much gratitude for your time,
Justin,
and responding and being such a great human. The world needs more of you, for sure. And
I'm not here, Justin, I'm not here to basically kind of sell myself to make me look good. No, honestly, this is with me as being me and the real me. It's not that I'm being in the show for people to like me. No, it's not. I just want to share, you know, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. And for the audience, thank you guys for listening in. I appreciate you guys. If you like what you're hearing, please share the episode, give comments. You know, that's how the show works. That's how people's stories are heard. It's basically the way it works. The more comments, the more likes, the episodes get, the better they do. And I'm not saying that to push it, but I am saying that this message is impactful and it could help a lot of people in the world, and we need to share it. And that's why I'm doing what I do, is to share these stories to help influence and help people and maybe change the trajectory of their lives. So thank you guys for listening, and I love all you guys. You can find me on Instagram at Justin Bizarro. You can find this show and all the other shows I do on Spotify or wherever else you grow yourself through podcasts, guys. And thank you very much, and we're out.